Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost14 and use code Ghost14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what might have been? That is what one listener ponders as they look back on a love that was lost too early in life.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You'll get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the archive, and it's all ad-free, so you can binge away just straight through. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program.
All of that. So, hey, I want to share a story with you that my friend told me the other day.
Okay.
So, she was telling me that the guy who works on her lawnmower died.
Okay.
And I don't know how good of friends they were since she referred to him as the guy who works on her lawnmower.
Sure.
But they must have been kind of good friends or acquaintances.
Or were they? Was there...
In your best Keith Morrison voice.
Was there other things going on nobody really knew about? Things that we all wanted to know more about, but we were off in the distance, watching from a purple bike, wondering, is it worth it?
I never meant to call you when you're sorrow.
Or Davey. Okay.
I gotta interrupt, because that's funny shit, because Tony has no idea what I'm even going to talk about. Like, none of that's rehearsed. And the fact that you just whipped that out with music and everything, that was really good.
Thank you. Always be prepared, which means just have like an archive of mid-80s light rock at your disposal at all times.
You don't know where this story is going to go.
No.
So anyway, so there's the lawnmower guy who died. Mm-hmm. And so this person that she knows, who, by the way, had come to the last weekend night of my play, mm-hmm. I Write Plays, closed on Saturday. This was Friday night. She was probably 40s, showed up full on in a prom gown. And I am not shitting you. It had the train on it and everything. And I saw her in the bathroom and I'm like, well, this is like a lot of look. She's like, I am really impressed. Like, that's beautiful. I didn't really know what to say. Anyway, so yeah, the same woman is the one who said, are you going to the funeral? And so Karen's like, well, I would like to go. When is the funeral? Mm-hmm. And so the woman told her when the funeral was. So Karen on Saturday got all dressed up, went to the funeral, got in the church, and sat down. And it was not his funeral. She has no idea who the woman was. And she's like, and I go, well, did you leave? And she goes, no. What was I supposed to do? Was I supposed to walk in and go, I don't know her, and then leave? She goes, I just sat there the whole time hoping nobody would ask me how I knew her.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, so when is the lawnmower guy's funeral? She goes, I have no idea. It wasn't today. I don't know if the woman was just high, but obviously they were talking about two different dead people, or she just gave her the wrong day, and there just happened to be another funeral going on. Even Karen has no idea what happened.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I don't know what song you play for that, but she went to the wrong funeral. And she goes, it wasn't my lawnmower guy. It was a woman named something, and she was 94 years old.
I don't know.
No idea.
I'm like, I got Toto for you. I have no idea what I would play to that whole concept of that whole story.
I think it's funny that, I mean, I got to laughing so hard when she was telling this story. I'm like, I don't mean to be laughing at you, but I totally am. I'm like, this is pretty funny. Oh my God.
You could here's what you could do. You could run video of them going to the wrong funeral, finding out in really fast pace, in and out of the chapel to this song. It's with the harmonica, it's just wrong funeral. Oh my gosh.
Kind of that Benny Hill sort of speed.
Yes, very much.
Really fast.
Exactly. Yes.
But then I'm like, okay, but you did get this information from a woman who wore a prom dress to my show the night before, who's in her 40s.
Sounds completely normal. I mean, doesn't it?
It was a blood red sequenced head to toe. She was wearing a tiara.
Her name was Carrie. Yeah.
And I'm like, that's why I didn't want to be rude, but I'm standing in the bathroom waiting for the toilet with her.
Yeah.
And, that awkward kind of hi, and because there's nothing, you don't know him. It's just awkward, and you're kind of standing there next to him. So I'm like, what's the occasion? And then she's like, I just wanted to get dressed up tonight. And I'm like, that's the only option. There wasn't another option other than the prom dress. But she did look nice, and she said, girl, it still fits. And I'm like,
and my husband looks like Rod Stewart. Stay away from my window. There you go.
When I was in high school, these friends of mine got married, and that was their song.
Tonight's the night. It's going to feel all right.
She was pregnant.
Oh, even worse.
Right?
It should have been... walking down the aisle to this.
I want you to DJ my wedding. That would be fun.
God.
Anyways. I just got to find me a fiance.
Yeah, but
other than that, we're ready.
I'll DJ. It'll be great.
You're going to DJ.
Every 30 seconds, there's a new song to fit a new moment. It's
that'd be awesome.
ADD DJing.
That's what I would love about it.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share. Stop, Rod Stewart, to share your real ghost stories with us here on the program. Back to our conversation in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients, mouth-watering, seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip the trips to the grocery store. Count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. I love the amount of options you get to choose from with HelloFresh. And I love how it kind of changes by the season. There's always new things being added. Fall can be extremely busy. If you're a parent, especially, you know that. Kids are back doing their things. HelloFresh recipes save you time you'd otherwise spend meal planning, shopping. You can get all the important things back to what matters. Being with your family, cooking for them, having those drama-free dinners where it's not fast food and you're actually feeling like you did a good thing. Like you're feeding your kids, your family well, and you don't feel guilty. Or if it's just yourself and you're super busy and you want to, skip the takeout, skip that, get back to cooking, don't have time for the grocery store, HelloFresh can totally take care of you. The fall harvest is officially on with HelloFresh. You can count on seasonal recipes like pumpkin cinnamon rolls, the Friendsgiving ready sides, as well as fresh, high quality ingredients that travel from the farm to your front door in less than a week. Get better value too. HelloFresh is over 30% cheaper than shopping at a grocery store with pre-portioned ingredients that ensure you won't spend money on excess food that just ends up in the trash. Yeah, I hate waste, and HelloFresh really, it takes care of that. Some of my favorite ones right now, the one pan beef and charred pepper tacos with mango salsa, smoky red pepper crema. It's so good. How about this? It is chili season. One pot longhorn turkey and bean chili with jalapeno and smoky red pepper crema. So many things to choose from. You're going to love it. Your family's going to love it. Check it out for yourself. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost14 and use code Ghost14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. It's HelloFresh.com/Ghost14 and use code Ghost14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. The first story starts like this. It's probably going to be one of my shorter stories. I've submitted a couple to you guys, but haven't really had the money to become an EPP yet. I've heard the first one about being chased by a ghost in school and am eagerly awaiting my second one. And now for the story. When I graduated high school, MySpace was king. Facebook was just coming into the world. I wasn't into either one yet, but I'd occasionally get on and look for people I knew. Came across a guy whose name sounded familiar, but I couldn't figure it out from where. So I messaged him and asked him if he'd ever lived in my town. He messaged me back the next day, telling me he did. He recognized my name, too. I'll call him Aiden. I asked my mom if she knew someone with his last name. She ended up having worked with his mother before they had to move, and me and the guy had used to play together when we were little. So that was the connection. He was 5 years older than me and was starting his own landscape business. I was just starting college. We text back and forth every day, call each other every few days, our phone calls lasting at least an hour each time. We became close friends and each other's confidants. About after a year, I started to have romantic feelings for Aiden, but he just wanted to stay friends. I was okay with that. We stayed close. During college, I began to date someone that, looking back, had a lot of red flags. Daryl was verbally and emotionally abusive. Throughout the whole year and a half that I dated Daryl, Aiden was there for me. I'd text him. He'd get me out of my emotional ruts. He, along with my family, helped me see that being with Daryl was bad and I had left the relationship. Aiden then admitted that he started to have feelings for me, but after the kerfuffle with Daryl, I wanted to stay single for a while. By the time I realized that I had feelings for him, Aiden had started dating Laura. We lost contact for a while, so about 2 years later, I married my husband and was pregnant with our first child. One night after going to bed, I had a phone call at about 1:30 in the morning. It was Aiden. He was crying, sitting in his car outside of he and Laura's apartment. They had a massive fight. She had beat him, but he refused to hit her back, so he left the house. He had also been drinking, I could tell. He emotionally admitted that he'd never lost feelings for me and that he wished he would have been with me instead of Laura. He and Laura's relationship was toxic. There were several late-night phone calls over a several-month period after that. He and Laura fought a lot. I told him several times that he needed to leave her, but he refused, trying to convince himself that he was happy. He admitted that his landscape business had failed due to her controlling nature of him, his finances and his friendships. Came to the point where I gave him an ultimatum. He had to either break up with Laura for good or else I would stop contacting him. She was killing him, and I wasn't going to watch it happen. Looking back, I wish I would have kept in contact, and here's why. After having my first child, I was a stay-at-home mom for 2 years, and I became pregnant with our second child. My husband and I then decided that two incomes were better than one, and I started a job. My youngest just turned a year. I tried to reach out to Aiden after having my second kiddo, but my text messages returned unread. About a month ago, I had a client in our office that had the same last name as Aiden. I inquired if she knew someone by that name. Well, I had a nephew by that name, but he passed away about a year ago. She replied, "It felt like someone punched me in the gut." "The one with the landscape business?" I asked. She replied, "Yes," and I asked if I knew him. By this point, I was having a hard time holding back tears. I nodded and told her that we were close during college and when he started the business. She explained that Laura and his relationship had been on and off and it was just as bad, if not worse, until he finally decided to take his own life. He had done so just a few days after I had my second child. I'll never know if I could have maybe prevented it, if I wouldn't have cut off contact with him, and if I would have been there for him. I thought and thought about it for a few days when I suddenly got the urge to look at his old MySpace page. I logged on, found my favorite photos of him. As soon as I opened the photo, I felt calm, at peace. I knew that he was okay, like he was giving me a big hug. It was like he was telling me, I shouldn't be sad anymore. I miss my friend. I'll keep his old phone number in my contacts, just so I won't ever forget him. Recently listened to your episode that you and Carol discussed a similar situation, and it inspired me to write you guys about this. Sorry for the length. Happy summer. And I'll hopefully become an EPP soon. Okay. Deep breath.
I know. You know, because that story is filled with so many what ifs.
Yeah.
And that's what haunts you forever. It's like, what if I had done this? What if that? What if, what if, what if, what if? And it's really hard to shut those off. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that she found his own MySpace page and was able to get some peace. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's nothing, because you can do that what if thing forever, but that wasn't ever the ending that was going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then to find out so out of the blue, just like, hey, you know, because if you see that same name, you would be like, you would kind of be thinking, wouldn't it be cool if she knows him?
Sure.
And then you could reach out and get back in touch. And the fact that that isn't even kind of what happened.
No.
And then to find out it was suicide, like there would just be so, and somebody that was always like the one that maybe got away.
Yeah.
You know?
And just never having the circumstances for it to work.
And having that kind of connection with somebody, you know? Because above and beyond everything else, they were very connected as very good friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of relationship is very special.
It is. And then just,
God, that's just tough. That's tough. Because there's nothing at that point. It's over. It's done. There's, you know, there's no one you could reach out to. So at least he had one way she could kind of connect with him and get a little closure.
A lot of what ifs, like you said. And I guess, you know, you can say to the what ifs is like, well, if there was that, then it wouldn't be this over here. You know, but.
Well, and like, look at your kids. Like, you wouldn't have those two kids.
Yeah.
Or, and maybe she has more now. I don't know. But, you know, you wouldn't have had them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just wasn't ever meant to be that way. And I kind of, you know, like we've talked in lots of different episodes about that connection you can have with someone after they pass. And, you know, maybe he can be that kind of, you know, guardian angel, for lack of a better term, whatever that actually is. But, you know, just somebody who kind of looks out for her.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, that one got me.
Oh.
That one got me.
It was a good one. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to see a movie about what ifs like that, The Family Man, Nicolas Cage, back when Nicolas Cage did good movies.
Oh, I was gonna say, I don't like Nicolas Cage, but he's good.
It was one of his last, like, I think one of the more feature films. I mean, it was like a go to the theater, ooh, a new Nicolas Cage movie, back when that was an actual phrase that people used. Believe it or not, it happened, kids. I'd say circa.
Nobody's believing.
No.
They're like, what?
If you're not, you know, near, you know, 35 or above, I don't know that you're going to know as successful as Nicolas Cage. I don't know. I liked him back in the day.
I only really ever liked him in Raising Arizona, and I think that was his first movie ever.
He was good in Leaving Las Vegas. He was good in...
Oh, okay. I mean, I'll give you that one.
I mean, he really... When he wasn't, like, trying to do 40 movies a year, and he did, like, three, it was good. But...
What's the name of the movie?
The Family
Again,
Man.
That.
Family Man.
Family Man.
Yep. It's he's like a stockbroker in New York. He's living this wonderful, lavish lifestyle. He has a new girlfriend every other week, and he's just the playboy of the town. And he's just amazed. And then something happens, and it's kind of like the ghost of Christmas past, present, and all the future. And it's a look at his life. So it's kind of, you know, along that storyline of Christmas. And he, in the alternative life, marries his high school, college sweetheart. And he's suddenly like in this very, you know, low income neighborhood. Things are, you know, just kind of crazy. They got three kids. And he's like, what, you know, what the hell happened? This was not my life. Like, I want to go and do this. And he works for like his father-in-law's tire shop. It's like the polar opposite of what he had in his other life. And he's there and he's witnessing it. And he ends up falling in love with that life because it was the person that he thought he should have been with. And then reconnects back when he gets thrown back into his old life with the college sweetheart. And it's a love misconnection. It's like, no, we both have our own lives now. And that's that. So it's kind of one like it kind of builds you up thinking it'd be a great, because it's a Christmas movie and it'll be great. And then it's like, oh, this is a really depressing Christmas movie at the end. It's just at least you're going, maybe you should make the other choice. And I can only imagine like how many people at Christmas, especially, you know, younger folks in number, where they're like, they're at Christmas with their new girlfriend or something or boyfriend, and they're looking back on the other one that they had for so long, but they got a new one right now. And it's just like, oh God, how much.
I think we've all kind of been there.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I found it relatable, you know, at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. If only I was dating the normal guy.
But it was a good one.
Instead, I'm dating the warlock.
Exactly. Whatever. Can you imagine that? That was the other, that was the alternative script that Nick turned down, believe it or not. He's like, this is too unbelievable. Nobody would date a warlock.
Nobody dates warlocks.
Nobody dates warlocks anymore.
Except Carol.
He did say anymore, which was, you know. So, all right. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. My name is Maria. I'm from New York. I used to live in an old farmhouse built in the 1800s. I have quite a nice little series of stories of all the entities that I had to live with in my 2 years of living in that house. I've always been sensitive, but never experienced anything like the events that happened in my apartment. The farmhouse had an apartment added to the back, and I rented the main house, and there was a neighbor who rented the back apartment, which was smaller. Later on, money issues, my husband and I had moved into that back apartment after the other person had moved out. But this story, for now, will be in the front apartment, because not too much happened in the back. But it was still very bad. So the neighboring apartment shared the wall to my kitchen and my dining room, and the back apartment, their staircase had went up along that wall that was with my kitchen and my dining room. Since leaving this house, I had given names to the entities that reside there. I did not want to name them while I lived there, because I did not want to give them any more power in the human realm that they already possess. And it is believed that you can do that by naming these entities. So I did not name them. But the names of the entities that I will be telling you guys about are the Beast, the Lady, the Children, Rusty, the Man, and the Christmas Spirit. I'm going to add that the Christmas Spirit is not what you think. It is not a cheery or merry thing at all, and it was one of the scariest entities that I had encountered in this house. The reason for it being called the Christmas Spirit was that it appeared on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, very late at night. My husband and I moved into this house Halloween 2016 with our two children, who are 6 and 2 at the time. My husband and I were in the basement putting away Christmas decorations when, out of the corner of my eye, I see this little shadow animal dart across the other side of the basement. It was roughly the size of a bunny. It was small and seemingly harmless, so I just kind of forgot about it. my husband and I were talking about how creepy our dirt cellar basement was, and he brought up that he saw a small shadow animal. We both shrugged it off and continued on. It's an old house. It's going to have something. Little did we know, this was the first sighting of the beast, and the beast was about to grow the longer we stayed. Small things would happen. We passed off as harmless. Items like car keys would go missing and found in a spot that not even my two-year-old would chew on and throw them. One day we came home from food shopping and all the kitchen cabinets were wide open. After that, one cabinet would always fall open. No matter what we did to try to fix it, tape it, shut, fix the hinge, it would always fall open. In the cellar, the pilot light on our furnace would go out way more than explainable, like twice a week. There's no draft down there. There's no way for it to get blown out. The only other explanation would be that it's an old furnace. And so my landlord told us that he wanted us to call him every time that it went out. That way he could go and fix it because it was tricky. There was like a trick to it. These were all the little things that would lead up to something much, much bigger. One night I was getting ready for bed after putting my children to sleep, and all of a sudden I hear like this really loud stomping up my stairs. Bang, bang, bang! And I had more than a dozen stairs in my apartment. Thinking it was my husband, I waited for him to come into my bedroom and listened for him to go into the bathroom so I could really give it to him because it was really late at night and my kids were sleeping. I'd just gotten them to sleep. When he didn't enter the room, I shouted again. I shouted down for him and I got no answer. I was aggravated, so I shouted even louder, scolding him for the way he had used the stairs so late at night and with the children sleeping. He finally entered the room, and, you know, as he came up the stairs, I could hear normal husband-sounding footsteps coming upstairs. He asked me why I was shouting, and I scolded him again for stomping up the stairs. He was clueless as to what I was talking about. And when I confronted him, he said that he had only come upstairs once tonight, and that was like literally just now, and I heard him come up the stairs quietly like normal. I asked him if he heard stomping or anything, and all he said was, "I only heard you shouting, so I came upstairs." He was in the middle of playing a video game on the computer, and he had his headset talking to his teammates, so he really couldn't hear too much, but he heard me shouting. Well, this is when we started to see the lady. The way my apartment was set up is that when you walk into the front door, immediately in front of you, to like slightly to the left, is a staircase up against the wall. Going to the right of the staircase, you could walk straight past, and you're in the living room. Right next to the staircase, you're in the living room. Go walking by the staircase, there is the door to the cellar right before the entryway to my dining room. Going up the stairs on the left side was the bedroom. Top of the stairs immediately was my son's room. Then after that was my daughter's room. Straight ahead was my room. The only room on the left, on the right, was my bathroom. Inside my bathroom is the door to the attic. Now, we were not allowed in the attic, for it was dangerous, old, and my landlord said that it just wasn't suitable for people to be up there. So he kept that door under lock and key. The night of the stomps was the last night I went to bed by myself upstairs. From this point on, I would fall asleep on the couch waiting for my husband to finish his game. And then we'd go upstairs together. I started getting the feeling I was being watched. The couch was, it would lay flush against the wall next to the doorway that leads to the dining room. Feeling a little antsy, I went upstairs to use the bathroom, wash my hands, splash some cold water. My legs get restless when it's time, when I'm overtired or trying to sleep, and, you know, just the action of going up the stairs to the bathroom and then just, like, wetting my hands and cooling down, it all eases the feeling for, like, 10 minutes. So as I begin to ascend the staircase, that's where I see her. She's floating in the doorway to the dining room. She's really long, brown hair, and looks very sad. She was dressed in, like, colonial period clothing. She stood there watching me. She just stood there staring at me, and when I first realized what I was seeing, I froze in my steps. I was unable to speak, or it was just shock. Moments passed, which felt like forever. And then I was able to continue back up the stairs. She just stood there and stared. When I came back downstairs, she was gone. And I told my husband what I had witnessed, and we were curious if we would see her when we went up to bed. Surely enough, we started to ascend the staircase together, and she was in the doorway watching us like she had been watching me. This became routine. She would show herself before we went to bed. As time went on, she would start to appear in the daytime. Instead of standing in the doorway, she started to peek around the doorway at the couch, watching us watch TV or be on the computer. If you were sitting on the couch, you would get this overwhelming feeling of sadness and anxiety wash over. And that's how I knew that she was around. She was really, really sad. It made me feel like she was a tortured soul or a lost soul. Of all the entities, though, she was the most harmless for what I can think. I think she's just really sad. And personally, although she was really creepy, I grew fond of her, bidding her goodnight even as I went upstairs to go to bed, just because she was always there, you know. I don't think that she did the stomping. I'm not quite sure who it was that stomped, but my suspicions would lead to the beast that I saw in the cellar, or the man who I've yet to introduce. There are so many entities in this old house, and there's so much that I have to tell you guys. I plan on writing in about everybody and all of my experiences and just how crazy living in this house had gotten. I believe that it's one of the things that had destroyed my marriage. My husband and I are currently divorcing. And that's very difficult. You know, our whole family was broken up.
That's where it cuts out. But a lot.
Well, I think when you live in a situation like that, and that's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
You know, especially if this woman won't quit staring at you, some ghost woman. But I could see how a marriage wouldn't survive that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that there's just a level of stress and fear and apprehension and dread and like all of those feelings that you get when you live in a place like that.
Uh-huh.
Like that's manifesting itself every day in your life.
Yeah.
Like all of the things, all the adjectives you don't want used to describe your life.
Yes. All your keywords.
Is what's happening to you every single day.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to go home.
Yeah.
You don't feel safe. You know.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to bed. You don't want to, you know, it's like you're not comfortable doing anything.
Yeah.
And I get that feeling because when I was a kid, we lived in that house that was like that. And it was like, you know, once in a while, it didn't feel as dark.
Yeah.
But when it really did, it was like it just washed over, you know, and you were just like, I got to run out of the house. I want to run out of the house.
Yeah.
And it's the only place where it felt normal was outside. And you can't live outside.
Oh, you can. You can build a separate structure from the main building. And you can spend a lot of time out there.
When you're between first and sixth grade, your building skills are awesome.
I'm not speaking from experience or anything.
Okay.
But
I get how, you know, I just wonder if it did have something to do with her marriage.
I think it could. I mean, I think anytime you have strife, you have, you know, just all those feelings that are just out of control and going left and right and such strong, I think it can manifest things. I think it can. Yeah, I think it can give energy to things that may be there that otherwise wouldn't have that type of energy. So, yeah, I mean, and I think it's going to attract negativity too, because a lot of things in that stage are going to be negative. So it's it can do a lot. And that's, you know.
And if personally you feel like that had a strain on your relationship, mm-hmm. then it did.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because if it was like, well, he was a raging alcoholic and he was horribly abusive, mm-hmm. but I think it was the ghost situation. You know, that's not.
No.
You know.
No. No. That was a good story. Thank you for sharing that with us in its entirety. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and the archive. It's all there for you. Ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.